British Telecom Tower. When the BT Tower was first built, it was topped by a revolving restaurant that was a popular city attraction. Although it is no longer open to the public, the tower continues to serve its original purpose. Hyde Park. Hyde is a London royal park, which Henry VIII acquired in 1536. It had been owned by the monks of Westminster Abbey before that. It is a large area of open space in the city centre of 630 acres and a perimeter of 4 miles. It has the memorials of Marble Arch at the east side and Kensington Palace at the west. Also within its environs is the Albert Memorial, Queen Victoria's monument to her husband. The Serpentine Lake is popular for boating, sailing, and even bathing. To the south of the Serpentine runs Rotten Row, the fashionable riding track through the park. Up by Speaker's Corner at Marble Arch, you can hear Britons exercise their right to free speech. There may be a dozen or more at any one time, each standing on a soapbox and spouting, usually, controversial views. These views are held on any topic you can think of: religion, politics, fox hunting, trade unions, Europe, tourists. St. James's Park. One of the smaller royal parks, flanked on the north side by the Mall, which is the ceremonial route to Buckingham Palace. A very beautiful park, with wild fowl breeding on the islands in the lake. The Royal Botanic Gardens. The Royal Botanic Gardens, Kew, in the west of London, displays a marvellous array of specimens, first planted in the 17th and 18th centuries. Orchids and palms are nurtured in the hothouses. Regent's Park. Regent's Park is London's most complete open-air space. It has acres of playing fields, a boating and sailing lake. There is the city zoo on the north side, an open-air theatre, and there are shady avenues. John Nash laid it out in the early 1800s for the Prince Regent, who wanted a country villa there. However, the scheme came to nothing, and in 1838 the area was opened to the public. The Regency terraces that Nash designed still surround three sides of the open space as a testimony to the original scheme. Museums and galleries. Museums and galleries are both part of London's cultural past, perhaps in different ways. The British Museum. The British Museum, founded in 1753, contains world-famous collections of antiquities from Egypt, Western Asia, Greece and Rome. It also contains prehistoric and Romano-British, medieval, Renaissance, modern and Oriental collections, prints and drawings, coins, medals and banknotes. The museum's collections number some 6.5 million objects, ranging in size from shards to colossal statues. The collections are maintained both for exhibition and as a resource of research for some 30,000 inquiries from professional academics, school children and tourists each year. The Tate Gallery. The Tate Gallery holds a major collection of international modern art, as well as historic and impressionist works. Paintings are shown in rotation because of the vast size of their collection. The newly refurbished Claw Gallery now has a room devoted to the marine paintings of J.M.W. Turner. The new site for the modern art collection is the Millbank Power Station, on the south bank of the River Thames. The site was renamed the Tate Gallery of Modern Art. Shopping. No visit to London would be complete without a trip round the shops. Knightsbridge is home to the upmarket department stores Harrods and Harvey Nichols. Other elegant emporia include Liberty's in Regent Street and Fortnum & Mason in Piccadilly. Alternatively, there are London's famous markets, excellent places to hunt for unusual bargains. Anything from antiques to second-hand clothes are sold at Portobello Road and Camden Lock Markets. Central London's Covent Garden specialises in handmade crafts. Trendy clothes and mainstream fashions can be bought along Oxford Street or Kensington High Street. Oxford Street. Oxford Street runs from Marble Arch, Marks and Spencer, via Selfridges and John Lewis to Oxford Circus, and another large branch of Marks and Spencer. The popular stores are in Oxford Street. In other words, the more exclusive stores are elsewhere. Oxford Street today is perhaps the most popular of the shopping streets in the capital. It contains most of the department stores, catering for the middle of the market. On a wet day, you can quickly scurry from store to store and spend here many happy hours out of the rain. Harrods. Harrods, in London's Knightsbridge, has gone beyond being a mere department store. This place has become a tourist destination in its own right. Tucked away in Knightsbridge, away from the main shopping area, this is the place to come to buy that chic green bag. This bag wraps all purchases made here, from a Chelsea bun to a grand piano. People can spend days wandering the floors. There is the extensive food halls on the ground floor, where the rich and famous get their groceries, the cosmetic counters, a bookshop, etc. Perhaps it is a little less exclusive than it was in the days when they had their own fleet of ships scouring the world on behalf of their patrons. Nevertheless, it is a pleasant place to spend a few hours, and you will probably end up the proud owner of one of those green bags. Covent Garden Market. The original vegetable market moved from the Covent Garden area just off the Strand to Nine Elms in Battersea. The old market halls have been preserved and have shops there now. Billingsgate. The fish market grew around a river gate in the city wall. A harbour was built and it began to import fish. By the 17th century, the bad language of fish porters and fishwives made Billingsgate swearing synonymous. It moved further downriver in 1982. Smithfield. Originally a field where animals were penned for selling. It grew into the world's largest meat market. The central hall, built in 1866, could handle 400 truckloads of meat at the same time. Petticoat Lane. This famous market is actually in Middlesex Street. It grew originally as a market for second-hand clothes. There, the local poor could buy the cast-offs of the rich. Today, the market attracts tourists looking for bric-a-brac and even antiques on Fridays and Saturdays. Covent Garden. Covent Garden is another of the old markets. The market for fruit and vegetables has been moved out now. The original market halls remain and have been converted into an interesting shopping mall. Other street markets. Portobello Road, open every Friday and Saturday in Kensington, offers knick-knacks. Camden Passage, in Islington, has antique stalls. Brixton and Kingston are good examples of 100 or so London street markets. Leather Lane, off Holborn, sells a variety of bric-a-brac. Newspapers. There are over 100 daily and Sunday newspapers published in the UK. The major quality daily newspapers are The Times, The Telegraph, The Guardian, The Independent, The Scotsman, and The Financial Times. The tabloid newspapers include The Sun, The Star, Daily Mirror, and more expensive such as Daily Mail, Daily Express and Today. The Evening Standard is London's only daily newspaper, and a very good source of information for entertainment in London. Fleet Street. Fleet Street was named after the Fleet River, which disappeared into an underground culvert. Until the 1980s, it was the centre of the UK newspaper industry. Eventually, computerisation arrived and the press moved out to modern buildings in the old Docklands. Transport. The quickest way of getting around in London is by the Underground, also called the Tube. London has one of the most comprehensive underground systems in the world, and also the oldest in the world, built 120 years ago. The Tube runs from 5:30 a.m. to midnight from Monday to Saturday, and from 7 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. on Sundays. During the rush hours, the Tube can be very crowded. London also has an extensive bus network, over 17,000 bus stops all over London. However, it is often difficult to know when one should get off if he or she doesn't know the area well. After midnight, night buses are the only public transport in London. All night buses have the prefix N, and most of them start from Trafalgar Square. Another way to get around is to hire a minicab or taxi. It can be expensive, but it means you can travel from door to door in the shortest possible time. Black taxicabs are a familiar sight in London.